Welcome to the Rehab Rebels podcast. Are you a rehab professional ready to transition to an alternative career? Hear inspiring stories from others just like you and learn the best ways to bridge your career gap. This podcast has you covered. Now here's your host, doctor of physical therapy and podcaster, Tanner Welsh.
So to start off, I'll just have you introduce yourself, where you went to school and what you're doing now, and then we'll lead into kind of how you got there.
Okay. Hi, I'm Danielle Maines, a physical therapist and director of clinical education for New Motion at Complex Rehab Company. I went to PT school at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, South Carolina, then graduated from PT school in 2007. And then we immediately moved back home to Kentucky, which is where I reside with my husband and four children.
Nice. I lived in Columbia, South Carolina for about 2 years, went through a national student exchange program there and really loved it. We were wearing sandals and clear until October, like late October.
The weather is fantastic in Charleston, especially right now in February. Like we were already out and about and getting outside again.
Heck yeah. So Danielle, let's talk about what you did after you graduated. What did you do after you graduated PT school? And then how did you end up getting where you are now?
Yeah. So after PT school, we moved back to Kentucky and I started out working in independent living, assisted living, kind of whole health realm. I loved that, but quickly knew that I wanted to continue to grow and do different things. So I went from independent living, assisted living to home health. I was doing home health right up until after I had my second child. And at that time, I had four PTAs and was covering a large geographical area. And I was like, man, this isn't really what I want to be doing. So I did a little contract stuff, started my own company doing pediatrics, early intervention and school system. And I love my babies. So I did that for a while. And then I remember contacting a therapist that I had started working with outside, like when I first got out of PT school, Jamie Easter. She's an OT. And I said, hey, Jamie, I've got all these kiddos and I need equipment. She was working at Shriners. How do you get equipment for your kids? And so she connected me with, at the time, it was Central Kentucky Mobility, but with the ATP, the Assistive Technology Professionals. And so I would spend days traveling with the ATP, getting equipment for kiddos and writing letters of medical necessity, doing wheelchair evaluations. And then I remember the day I was standing on a porch with the ATP that I was working with. And I said, man, I am so jealous that you get to do this every single day. And he was like, really? You think so? I'm like, yeah, we are providing equipment. We're providing things to families to really make it easier for them to help their kiddos to develop or for mom just to be able to take a shower and have a safe place to put them. And he was like, you think you might like to do this? I'm like, oh, I would love to do this, but I'm just a PT. And he was like, oh, no, you would be fantastic at this. And that's really what kind of started my journey in the assistive technology complex rehab world that really kept going to where I'm at today. So I started that back in 2014, changing from the clinical world to the CRT world.
And how you got introduced to it was through your home health role. Is that kind of how it started or how did you get introduced to it exactly?
No, it was more with pediatrics as an early intervention, first steps. It's called First Steps in Kentucky, but First Steps and school systems and getting equipment for kiddos.
Okay, that makes sense. And what about it made you love it so much? What was your why for, okay, time out. I really need to like really look into this and making it a career.
It was just that being able to provide that to families and being able to work with additional therapists. In Eastern Kentucky, access to healthcare is limited. So all of my kiddos that I was seeing for therapy and getting equipment for either had to go to Lexington, which was sometimes an hour, 2 hours away, or they had to go to Cincinnati, which is 2 hours away, to bigger places. And I didn't really know, nor did my fellow colleagues that were therapists, about getting equipment for kiddos. And so it was really that, okay, now I know. So how can I teach other therapists? How can I help them to be able to get equipment for kiddos and expand that reach? But I remember the one little girl that I was talking about standing on her porch, getting a bed for her that was safe. for her to be able to be in a safe place so that mom could take a shower, activity chairs, getting wheelchairs and things for them to be able to be mobile and independent is really my why. And it all starts with pediatrics and then grew into all ages and abilities.
Let's talk about that. So we got your why down. That's great. I love that. How did you transition into this adaptive technology kind of career and direction? Like, how did you get your foot in the door and get started? And then obviously where you are now as a director.
For me, I started with writing the letters of medical necessity, identifying the equipment and being involved in that delivery process, and then working with the kiddos and their equipment for therapy. After talking to David on that porch that day, and he was like, yeah, this is something that I think I would like to do. I went through the whole process, the interview process, and which was totally outside of my wheelhouse. Sitting down at a table and talking to somebody about territories and planning and salaries and expectations and things like that, that as a therapist is, oh, how many units do I need to build today, was completely just mind-boggling to me. But so I did all of that. And I remember sitting at this little bakery in Morehead, Kentucky, my hometown. They came in to meet with me and do the interview. And they said, how do you feel about turning a wrench? I was like using tools? You're like, yeah. Are you comfortable with learning how to use tools to adjust equipment? And I was like, I adjust your equipment all the time.
All right.
So that kind of was like, okay, so she's gonna be okay with that piece of it, the technical aspect of it. And so actually it ended up going through that whole process, not getting a position the first go around because there was an acquisition and a merger and another team member came on. And so I was like, okay, it's not meant to be, continue doing therapy and practicing as a clinician. And then I was sitting in my office in the spring of 2014 and my phone rings and I'm like, that's Rick Parkey. I haven't heard from him in a while. And hey, Danielle, are you interested in becoming an ATP? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I'm looking around this office and everything. And I'm like, yeah, I think so. So then I joined New Motion in February of 2014. Nope, I take that back. I joined New Motion in April of 2014 and started in what was at the time the ATP development program. As a clinician, came in, I had the clinical skills, but still needed to understand how to match the equipment to what they needed. So I went through an ATP development program, studied for my resident exam, and passed my resident exam in November of 2014.
Let's talk about that. So you're a PT, and then you're getting trained to be an assistive technology professional. Do you have to be like a PT or an OT to be an assistive technology professional? Like, what are the requirements there?
No, you don't have to be a PT or an OT or any type of a therapist. But depending on your background and your education background, it kind of leads into the requirements and how long you have to practice in the field or have experience in the field to be able to be fully certified as an ATP. So as a clinician with a master's in physical therapy, I was able to, it was about 6 months time frame of getting experience and things like that. And then I was able to sit to become a certified assistive technology professional.
Okay. And that's what the exam was that you were talking about. After you pass this, then you're an official ATP.
Yes. So now I am a PT ATP and we have continued competencies and CEU requirements for that ATP credential as well.
Okay. And we talked a little bit about the PT's role, I think writing letters of necessity. The ATP, what can you go into detail a little bit more about what an ATP does?
Yeah. So in the world of complex rehab and providing custom manual wheelchairs, custom powered wheelchairs, equipment, pediatric equipment, all kinds of different types of equipment, the therapist's role is to provide the medical documentation and the clinical documentation that supports the need for the equipment. The ATP's role is to match the equipment to the goals. So it's a natural fit of being able to understand, hey, clinically, this is what the therapist is telling me, but now I know the equipment, so I can help to match that equipment to their goals. So really, you take off that clinical hat, but we're still using all of that clinical knowledge that we have to be able to identify and put that equipment together.
Definitely. That makes sense. During our discovery call, we also talked about another title, another person that's involved in this, and that's the specialty account managers.
Yeah.
Can you talk about them and their role in all this?
Yes. So a specialty account manager is someone who goes out and really generates new business for sources and to garner new accounts and clients. So they are really in that kind of front end piece of going to doctor's offices and educating them on complex technology and what may their patients may benefit from. They also work with therapists, and then they'll, so it still requires that we have an ATP for a lot of that complex equipment. So then that order will go to the ATP and the therapist to do that evaluation piece. And then the specialty account manager may keep up with all of that documentation, go back to the doctor's office, talk to them if they need additional documentation to support that.
For sure. That makes sense. Okay. So you're a PT, you get certified in ATP. What's next?
What's next for me was I spent 2 years as an ATP in Eastern Kentucky covering everything from Cincinnati down to like Central Kentucky, London, and Southern Kentucky and East. I spent a lot of time in the car, but it was great. So if I was within 45 minutes of home those days, then I was like, oh yes, it's been great. I'm home, because again, access to healthcare and roads and things are, it's not easy. It might look like it's pretty close, but it's not close. I was an ATP in the field for 2 years and said, hey, what can I do next? So I ended up going to work for a manufacturer, Invacare, as a rehab sales specialist in Indianapolis. So from there, I was able to work with ATPs and therapists and clients. I've always loved to be able to just share what I know. So it's like, oh, I worked with therapists in Eastern Kentucky. Now I'm going to work with ATPs and therapists and clients up in Indianapolis. So I did that for a little while. My husband and 3 kids stayed in Kentucky. My husband and 3 kids stayed in Kentucky. We were planning to move. Didn't happen. I had an apartment up in Indianapolis, and I would work 3 days a week. I would go up on a Tuesday, come back home on Thursday afternoon, doing in-services, education, custom molded seating with clients and ATPs and therapists. And I loved that piece of it too, continuing to educate. I got pregnant with baby number 4, and I was like, I can't stay in Indianapolis. And they were, you know, family was still in Kentucky. So I came back home in September of 2017, September, October of 2017, at 6 months pregnant. So I was like, well, what am I going to do now? So from there, and I stayed on to launch a new product coming out. So I stayed on to launch that. Got to do some great things with the PVA, Paralyzed Veterans Association, the wheelchair games, all kinds of great and exciting things with Invacare. But I came back home and went to work for another company as a product manager. So then there's a theme, right? I love to teach people. I like to tell people about things, and I like new and innovative products and product education. As a product manager, I was doing internal and external marketing on products, new technologies, things like the OBI, robotic feeding device. I don't know if you've seen anything like that, but it's super cool that someone who can access a switch can feed themselves, and the device will move from bowl to bowl and scoop up food and feed them. So lots of cool things there. And I did that for a little while.
So before the product manager, you were actually in a sales position before
that? Yes, as a manufacturer's sales rep.
So were you doing any sales as a product manager too, or
As a product manager, I was working with the leadership team, identifying products, looking at pros and cons and clinical benefits of different types of products, and then doing some marketing with internal for the company and external.
Okay, let's talk about the sales role. What was that like? And I'm really curious what skills you developed as a PT transferred into and helped you in a sales role. And then what are those skills that transferred to be a product manager role? I could see maybe more of a relation for product manager, but I want to hear your story on the two takes on sales versus product manager.
Well, I think as a clinician, we're always selling something, right? And I tell therapists when I talk to them, right? If I'm trying to get parents for my kiddos to do the exercises and things, I'm selling to them why that it's important for them to do the home exercise program, why it's important for them to do positioning or to do this or to do that. So as a product manager, that one was pretty easy. So we're taking the products, we're putting together the clinical benefits, we're putting together the specs and things like that. In the sales role with Invacare, when I was a sales rep, It's a lot of the same things, right? We're educating therapists in it's selling, but it's using our clinical knowledge and educating therapists, being hands-on with the custom molded seating to configure, really customize that seating system so it fits like a glove and it provides them with the best position to be able to function. So all of that, yes, it's sales, but it doesn't feel like sales because they're not going in and saying, oh, we need to do this and this. We're just matching that equipment to what the client needs or what the patient needs. But I've always loved numbers too. So having that love for numbers and then being able to kind of see that come together in a sales role with using my clinical, it was a really fun time as a sales role.
For sure. The product manager role, is that something that you were seeking out and like you knew you wanted to do that? Or did it fall on your lap?
No, that was one that kind of fell into my lap as I was looking for something to come back home to Kentucky and feeling it was supposed to be a short-term thing to fill a gap. And I was going to go back into the field as an ATP. I ended up loving the product manager role. It worked really well. And so I stayed in that position throughout my tenure at the company.
Nice. And was the product manager role for a company that made adaptive equipment?
No, so it's a complex rehab supplier, much like New Motion that I work for.
Okay, cool. What happened after the product manager role?
After the product manager role, I decided to step back for a little bit and get back into a little bit of clinical. I started a mobile PT company where I was doing wheelchair evaluations, equipment evaluations, letters of medical necessity, mm-hmm. and working with a lot of those ATP suppliers. Just prior to COVID.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So my gosh, you wore so many hats here. So after the product manager role, you create your own business and it's more of a home health kind of evaluating needs of necessity.
Yeah, more of the NB for Medicare patients, okay. Med B in the home, right? Not homebound. So you can kind of patient in the home, PT practice.
Uh-huh. Are you still doing that now?
No, I'm not. It's terrible at figuring out how to bill. I love numbers, right? But they can't figure out how to bill Medicare. Hindsight, like I think I could have figured it out with a lot of the groups and things that are available now and their resources. But at the time, I was like, this is really stressful. And so, no, I am not doing that now. That was, and then I said, I think I want to get back into the complex rehab world. In February of 2020 is when I came back to New Motion and joined the education.
Nice. And when you joined New Motion again, what were you doing whenever you joined back with them again? Hello, Rehab Rebels. This is a quick short announcement to give you an update on what is to come in the new year, starting in January 2024. We're going to be releasing solo episode content, starting with the stressful work environment and building out from there. And all these little mini transitions that are involved with transitioning from a work or job that we don't like and getting to one that we do like or even love. And the content is going to be in one of three buckets. The first one is career transitions, life alignment, personal and professional growth and development. The second one is going to be around finances involved with these different lifestyle and career transitions. The third one is about business entrepreneurial topics. And so with that, happy holidays to you and yours. Safe travels, and we will see you in the new year.
So when I came back to New Motion in February of 2020, I joined the clinical education team as an ATP development specialist and clinical education specialist. So remember, I talked about I was part of the ATP development program back in 2014 to get me ready to become an ATP. So that has been now revamped. And so I joined New Motion as an ATP development specialist to help clinicians and other people, not necessarily clinicians, but to become resident certified ATPs, to get those hands-on skills, those entry-level skills, to be able to match that equipment to those goals of the therapist and the client, and clinical education. So working with external therapists as a clinical educator.
Okay. And today, so bridging from then to today.
Yes.
how did you get to this director role from then?
So I, again, like the plan was, it was a short-term plan for me to be in that ATP development specialist and clinical education specialist. But opportunity came up, the director role came available. And so I said, well, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring for that one. And August of 2020, I was promoted to director of clinical education for New Motion.
Congratulations. So what is your job like? What is, what being a director, what are some of your responsibilities and duties and what do you do?
So there's a lot of things that's going on behind the scenes. Like the best part of being a clinical educator and a director of clinical education is being able to be out in front of people and to educate other people, right? So sharing our love for complex rehab technology and helping therapists to find that passion and that love for doing wheelchair evaluations is just more paperwork. We can help you to be more efficient with that. So that's the great part, right? Getting up, being able to present and do CEU courses and things like that. On the back end, I have a team of four other individuals now. So we've expanded within clinical education to, I have a clinical educator. I have that really focuses on the PT side of things. We have a clinical educator who is also an OT, who focuses on the OT side of complex rehab technology and also bowel and bladder management. She's a phenomenal speaker. And then also now have a LMS administrator. So we have New Motion Academy of Mind that has CEU courses and education about products. So Kylie runs that operation of that, and then an instructional designer who helps us to put together that content to make it interactive. And so that's kind of like the day-to-day of making sure that we're doing internal education, external education, and meeting the needs of both therapists and our ATPs.
Yes. What are some, you explained your story so far, just like it was a cakewalk and everything was so smooth and great and everything just fell into place for you. So what were some real struggles that you had and pain points with this long journey that you've had?
I think being patient. I remember, not to call anybody out, but in PT school, we had to do like our 5-year plan, right? And my 5-year plan was that I had a vision that I wanted to have my own company and to be doing my own thing. I got a 75. I got a C on that assignment because it was, no, I want that. And I'm going to do that. And then at 5 years that I did that, I was like, see, I told you I was going to do this. So for me, it's like, I knew I wanted to be an educator. I knew I wanted to share what I've learned along the way and my tribal knowledge with other people, but being patient. It's been a process and just being open-minded to say, okay, hold on. We'll see. Maybe this isn't right, but I'm going to continue to learn and to grow and to see what's next. But I want all of those things now. And you just have to like be patient and figure out what the next step is.
For sure.
There was times that I'm like, oh, I cannot figure out how to build Medicare. Like I can't do this. And accepting the fact that even though I wanted those things, I wanted to be able to do that, and I could see the success of that, that I just couldn't do it. And then go on to the next thing and figure out how to continue to grow.
For sure. You learn as you go, like from whatever it is you're doing. And I think you can, with the right mindset and perspective, can carry that on in the future with, okay, this didn't work out, but I can use it to do this or that. And it's kind of part of the journey and process. We've talked about this several times with other guests about how, quote unquote, failure, I think, has a really bad stigma in the world, but it's making mistakes and failing is part of the process of getting where you want to go. And I assure you that all the people that you admire, that you see as really successful, didn't get where they are without making a few mistakes or failing at something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's definitely part of the process.
And I think that's for, you know, as a therapist, as an ATP sitting in the audience and watching people present and do their CEUs. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be them when I grow up. They do such a great job of educating. And now I'm going to work with all of them. And we all do the same thing. Like we all go through the same processes, the same, they have the same fears, the same process getting to that point that I do. So it's just being understanding and realizing that, you know, kind of cliche, right? We all put our hands on the same way. Even if it's somebody that's in those roles that you aspire to be to, they've gone through the same process and still the same things.
Very true. Have you considered, you mentioned education was your thing from the beginning. What about teaching at a university or not even in a university, like just teaching in general in a more academic field? Have you thought about that or?
I have. We partner with a lot of schools. So locally, I go every semester to the PTA program and we'll work with the PTA student. We also partner with universities across the country. We did some stuff in the spring with Missouri State University OT program. So I feel like I get to dabble in all of those things and work with students, but maybe eventually, I just don't know if that's something that I don't know. We'll see.
See what happens. See what's in store for you. Who do you feel would be a good fit for being an ATP and venturing off into this career field that you're in?
Clinicians, which obviously I think that clinicians are a great fit, but not all clinicians are going to be a great fit. But it is something that PTs, PTAs, we have several PTAs that are ATPs as well. OTs and CODAs, having that clinical skill, but being open to learning new skills, right? You don't have to be Bob Vila and be super handy with tools, but you have to be open and willing to learn how to use those tools so we can make those adjustments so we can fit our patients with the equipment to maximize their function. So your friends who are willing or able to use tools, and it's not like, not using big saws or things like that. I'm talking like screwdrivers and drills and Allen wrenches. I have a Peak toolbox.
Nice.
Which, another story about Peak toolboxes. But like, if I'm going to carry tools, I always want it to be my own tools. So I did. I carried a Peak toolbox around with me. Use a turkey carving knife to carve out fall and things like that. Open and willing to learn how to use those tools. You don't have to be an expert, but being willing to use those. And people, you go into a lot of homes. So if you are adverse to being in someone's home in different conditions, it may not be the best role. But for me, I loved those things with home health and with early intervention, kind of getting to go in and be part of their story, part of their home, part of their family. So we do a lot of that. We have to go in and do home assessments and measurements and things like that. But definitely have the clinical skills already to know thing and things like that. It will help to get the rest of it put together.
Nice. I'm curious about what's the salary or the income like being like a CODA or PTA versus an assistive technology professional, or even a PT trying to be an assistive technology professional. Are they comparable? Or
yeah, that's going to change across depending on where you live, right? Just like with therapists. But for me, it was very comparable to starting out to where I was at as a rehab director when I came into this role. But the difference is that the opportunities are limitless, right? So it is a sales role. So you do have commission based. So the harder you work, the more clients that you see and you provide them with equipment, then you have an opportunity to earn more.
Okay. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. It is. So yes, there are dollars associated with things. It's also the number of clients, the number of people that you're able to provide equipment to. That sure. Is one of those metrics that we look at versus you sold X number of dollars of equipment.
Gotcha. Okay. That's good to know. Earlier, there was a distinction that I wanted to clarify. There's the manufacturers that make the equipment, and then it seems like there's what you said NewMotion was. And yeah. What's the group of companies that are like NewMotion, and how is that different from the companies that actually make the equipment?
Yeah. So NewMotion is a supplier of equipment. So NewMotion and the other CRT companies are suppliers. So we're kind of intermediary between the manufacturers and the client. So we may look at, so when I'm looking at providing a wheelchair to someone, I may be customizing that wheelchair with five different manufacturers. So as you're pulling together the parts and the pieces to really customize and configure that equipment for the individual, we may be using multiple manufacturers to do that.
Okay.
So Medicare, so if we're looking at going into Medicare guidelines, requires that a Medicare patient to receive custom complex rehab technology wheelchairs, there has to be a therapist that does a specialty evaluation There has to be a practitioner, so your doctor, PA, nurse practitioner that either does a visit with them or concurs with the findings. Then there has to be an ATP supplier, a resident-certified ATP involved in the evaluation process. And then, of course, the client, and then there's the funding team requirements and all of that. So it's one of those things that manufacturers make the equipment, and then the ATP suppliers configure the equipment to meet the needs.
Wonderful. I really appreciate that explanation. That makes a lot more sense. Are the requirements or some of the guidelines with Medicare still the same with they'll provide an adaptive device or equipment, but it has to last 5 years?
Yeah. So when we're going into looking at equipment that is Medicare guidelines, is that it's going to last 5 years. 5 years doesn't guarantee that they're automatically going to get something new, but we need to be looking at 5 years out. Now, if there's a significant change in condition, they will consider with the appropriate documentation prior to that, but it's kind of a pullback. Yeah. So when you're looking at evaluating and configuring equipment for a Medicare patient or really anybody, peds is a little bit different because they're growing, but we're looking at 5 years out. What can we provide them in 5 years? What is their prognosis with their current condition in the next 5 years? So yeah, 5 years is that rule of thumb, but it doesn't guarantee that they'll automatically get something new at the end of 5 years. There still has to be a reason that it's not meeting their needs. I bet.
For sure. What have you realized from this journey? Like what life awareness or kind of realizations that you have been able to recognize now that maybe you didn't before?
That's a good question. One is, and I think I've talked about it several times, like being okay with being uncomfortable, being okay with stepping outside of that comfort zone to go after kind of what I want to do and what I want to see. When I first started, I will say as product manager, it was really the first time I started working with senior level executives and leadership teams. And I was so uncomfortable in those conversations and in those meetings of, I'm just a therapist. I don't know. So there's been a lot of growth in that sense of being able to sit down across the table and have conversation and really bring that clinical and that ATP perspective into those conversations. So that's one. I've almost forgot what we were talking about.
Oh, it's a pretty broad question. And is what have you realized from this journey, or what kind of maybe life awareness have you realized from this journey graduating from PT school and getting to where you are today?
Yeah, another thing I always say, I'm a physical therapist by background, and I'm still paying for my PT school, but I'm not practicing as a therapist. And so I was like, Danielle, did you waste all that money? Not really, because I wouldn't be here where I'm at today without having gone through PT school and had those experiences along the way.
Exactly.
But I think that the opportunities that you have, like there's so many different opportunities I had no idea existed when I was in PT school, prior to PT school, just out of PT school. And that continues to broaden as I work with Liam, who is our OT and does bowel and bladder management and medical supplies and catheters. And Liam Holderbaum is our clinical educator. She's an OT. And we also have a medical supply division, which we didn't even talk about. So providing medical supply and wound care, catheters, ostomy care, things like that. And so Lee really specializes in bowel and bladder management, mostly bladder management and intermittent catheterization. And like, I didn't even know that there were so many different options. And so that's something that I continue to learn. She joined my team back in September, and we're incorporating some of that bladder management, catheterization, clean intermittent catheterization into our education. And every single time I'm like, it really does play a big role in how we customize and create wheelchairs for individuals who are using catheters, who do intermittent catheterization. So it's just a big wide world out there of opportunities and different things that therapists can do.
For sure. Were there any useful resources that you found helpful for the transitions that you did and the many different career paths that you've had? Like some of the challenges that you were talking about was being able to talk to some of these like directors and some of these other people and do all these things. Was there anything that you used or books that you read or something that was really helpful for you?
There's several books out there, the Clinical Fundamentals Guide for Clinicians who are interested in the complex rehab and the evaluation piece. But there's lots of resources available on the internet. Most of the manufacturers will have links and educational resources. We have an educational resources page, but then just being open to having conversation. For me, I didn't do any leadership courses or anything like that. I was part of a thought leadership committee. I sat back and observed a lot with those interactions, but I would just have open conversations with my direct boss, my leader, and say, hey, that's really uncomfortable for me. How can I do better? How can I be more involved in that? But I'm just, that's my personality. I'm just very open with, hey, if I don't understand, I'm going to ask questions. And then I'm not afraid to say, I don't know, but let me get back to you with the answer for that.
Definitely. Is there anything else that you would like to cover or discuss here before we end?
No, I mean, we have lots of resources for therapists on New Motion's website. We do have a learning management system if you're interested in learning more about complex rehab technology, continuing education. It's New Motion Academy of Mind. And there's lots of resources out there that we can link to and show them if someone's interested. We do have the HP development program for clinicians. And there is a listing available of positions that may be available, but we could always reach out to our talent acquisition team, send in those resumes if someone's interested in becoming an ATP and going through the ATP development program.
For sure. Sounds good. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey and your story on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And it didn't go too bad.
No, I think it'll be great.
Tanner doesn't say at all. So how do I not say
Well, I'm asking the question. So I think I have a little bit easier position than answering all the questions, but it's okay that I edit all of the content. Who would be a good fit for these kinds of CEUs? What kind of therapist? Or why would this information and this CEU benefit them with their clinical care and what they're doing?
Yeah. So any therapist who is participating in the provision or prescription of wheelchairs or mobility devices, pediatrics, as far as standards and gait trainers and things like that, where they're needing to either identify patients that are appropriate for complex rehab technology or do the documentation piece to write that letter of medical necessity, to do that wheelchair evaluation, then that's what all of our external facing CEU content is really for those therapists. Sure. Or just if they're interested in learning more about what is CRT, we do have some free courses as well. So some of those, if we're issuing a CEU certificate, then they have to pay for that because of anti-kickback and those federal regulations. But we do have some of those courses that are available for free, education only, without a certificate. So if they don't want or don't need the CEUs, they just want to learn, then they can go to the free courses. But we do have our CEU courses are now divided by discipline. So for on-demand, so we have PT, which most of those courses are approved by Redefy, which covers 39 states, jurisdictions for PTs. And then we have additional states that aren't covered there. We are an AOTA provider. So all of our courses are approved by the AOTA. That's 39 states, I believe, that will accept those. And then also ISET. So we are an ISET provider. So for the ATPs, then they need ISET CEUs. So that's the one what we're doing with our education, and we do monthly webinars that are free to attend. But if they want the CEUs, then we provide them with an option to pay to register and get them CEUs.
Perfect. And many companies that employ therapists do have an education bucket or funds to use towards CEUs for therapists too. So yeah, there's definitely, I think, incentive and coverage there for those that are interested and maybe in settings that this
Absolutely.
Would definitely benefit.
We did recently in 2023 decrease the cost of the CEUs because a lot of those budgets have been decreased or cut. So we decreased the cost of our CEUs as well for therapists.
Awesome. So I'll send listeners over to the new Motion Academy of Mine using the promotion code or coupon code Rehab Rebels. Check out, and we'll be all set.
Awesome. And then have you asked about the SAM?
What's SAM?
I know a lot about the SAM rule.
the service
account manager.
Yeah.
I've known Adam for many years and he lives about an hour from me. And he absolutely loves the Sam role. He's like, I don't have to worry about anything. Like I go into the doctor's office. I do like marketing stuff. He hand carries the documents, but I don't go. About the same role, but I know that we have several therapists that just think that it is like, Adam, do you ever want to become an ATP? Because I'm like all ATP. And he's like, I don't think so. I just love this role. So anyway, so Adam had gone through Meredith's non-clinical course as well. So then I ended up in the non-clinical LinkedIn group and then on Facebook, and I hosted a webinar with therapists and our talent acquisition team that were interested in kind of the different roles at NuMotion that were available to therapists. I think I ended up with 20 people that wanted to come and learn more. That was a new experience for me too. Like, maybe I should just leave this to the talent acquisition team. There were so many messages on Facebook and on LinkedIn. Like, if you just like barely put anything in there, then it's just, oh, pick. Yep, I think I'm just going to let the professionals handle that. Yeah,
for sure, for sure. And of course, if there's anything I can do for you, Danielle, please reach out. I'm going to get all the links in, get your LinkedIn in there, direct it to you too.
Yeah. Do you have the links for NuMotion Academy of Mind?
I don't think so.
I just popped in there.
Nice, nice.
NuMotion Academy of Mind. Yeah, we've got, so newer this year, we're going back to in-person education with our 2023 new fairs. So 8 different cities that we will be in 2023. And then you'll see like webinars and event registration. So our monthly webinars, they're listed for the entire year. And then on-demand courses, that's where the CEU courses and the free courses are at.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much for the link. Get that on there and go from there. So thank you so much for Super Bowl Sunday. Come on and join me. I've really had a good time.
Have a great day.
Thanks. You too. You take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Rehab Rebels podcast. If this podcast was useful, make sure to hit that subscribe button and leave a review. For more information about transitioning to alternative careers, head to rehabrebels.org or follow us on Instagram at Rehab Rebels Podcast. We'll see you next time.